may be seated. Tonight's title of my message is How to Come to Church. How do you come to church? I'd like to ask you a question tonight. How do you come to church? And I'm not asking about by what mode of transportation you arrived at here tonight. None of us are Amish or Mennonite, so most of us drove a car. Some, however, might be close enough. Some live within the immediate area. Some of you might have walked. It's a little cold to ride a bicycle, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm asking you, what is your heart attitude as you came to church tonight? Why and how did you come to church? As we read through this passage in Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John, and this man, his name's not given, he's identified as the lame man, as they go to God's house. You know, as we go through this weekly ritual of coming to God's house, many times we do it without thought, we do it without prayer, we do it without intention, we just show up. In fact, the first thing that I see, the first group of people that I see coming to God's house, they went to the temple, we come to the church, it would seem they came out of habit. Look again at Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. The ninth hour was 3 in the afternoon. The Roman clock started at 6 in the morning, so you add 9 to that. It was 3 in the afternoon. It was the time for prayer, so they went to church. It was expected of them. They said, you know what? This is the time we come to pray. And they said, this is the time we're going to come to church. They came out of a habit. One of the greatest things that you need to do and I need to do in our Christian life is to establish godly habits. Now, I'm not going to say it was a bad thing to go out of church out of a habit. It's better than starting a habit not to come to church. Can anybody say amen? You need to get in some godly habits. In fact, your habits will either make you in your Christian life or they will break you in your Christian life. One of the things I am so glad that I came to an early realization of, I can make my Christian life a lot easier on myself. I can make my Christian life a lot more successful. I can make my daily struggles and my daily decision-making processes a lot easier by establishing godly habits. My wife and I have been married now, coming up on 9 years. It has never been a question, are we going to go to church on Sunday morning? Amen. It's Sunday morning, and you know where we're going to be? Amen. We're going to be in church. Amen. Come Sunday night, we never have to look. I've never had to exchange with my wife, are we going to go to church tonight? What do you think? Think we ought to go to church tonight? That has never come up in the Pofel household. Come Wednesday night, we've just got home from church, we're rushing to get dinner, we're trying to get ready. It has never come up. Why don't we just stay home tonight? No, it's a habit that we got into that, thank God we had godly parents who at an early age established us in that habit. Parents, can I tell you tonight, you are establishing a godly habit in your children's lives by bringing them Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, week in and week out, come games, come whatever, be in church. Amen. You need to establish some godly habits. I see the first group here, they seem to came out of habit. It is a good thing. You know, one day, I had a neighbor a couple houses up from us, never met the man really, just moved in. And he had observed us going to church. One morning I was getting out, I was going to church, and he waved and said, "Hey, preacher!" I'd never met the man. I'd never told him I'm a preacher. I mean, we'd probably given him an invitation, invited him to church. But that conversation had never come up. Usually you don't tell people right away. They love you or they hate you. So you ease into those kind of conversations. But he had observed in our life a habit and a pattern of being faithful to God's house. Number two, I see a second way that someone in the story came to church. Look in verse 2 of Acts chapter 3. It says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them who entered into the temple." Some come hurting with great need. Some come hurting with great need. I don't know how you came to church this morning, and I don't know how you came to church tonight, but I imagine if I were to take a poll across this congregation, there would be an entire spectrum of how you came to church tonight. And I would imagine that there might be one person here or several people here that came hurting with great need. I thought of the irony of this. Here is a man who by all physical appearances was not beautiful. The Bible says he was born lame from his mother's womb. He never knew to walk. He never knew. He never got to play ball. He never got to run in the street. He never got to have fun as a child. He was born lame. Never knew what it was to stand and run and walk. To help his mom. To help his dad. To just live a normal life. And they came every day. The Bible says they came every day. And they laid him at the beautiful gate. They didn't lay him at the fish gate. They didn't lay him at the east gate or the west gate. They laid him at the beautiful gate for him to beg. Alms, for those of you who don't know, an alms, when you were begging alms, you were begging a life-sustaining gift. This man had no occupation. He had no work. He had one means of living every day. One means of getting enough money, enough food, enough substance to live. And that was to beg. It was to humble himself every day before the parade of people as they came past and say, alms, alms, alms. He came hurting with great need. Tonight, if you came hurting, you came to the right place. Can you imagine this unbeautiful man at the beautiful gate? Can you imagine as the people would walk by and as the people would walk in and they'd say, my, look at the splendor as the disciples did with Jesus. And said, look at the stones and look at the beauty and look at the splendor. And look at the mar sitting there, marring the beauty. Imagine the people talked about him as they walked by. I would imagine the people scorned him as they walked by. I was imagining the people. Can you imagine the flippancy of some people just disregarding him? Somebody having maybe just throwing a penny in his cup. How he must have felt like the unbeautiful one at the beautiful gate. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but that's a bad way to feel. I don't know if you've ever felt like the odd man out. I'm not sure if you've ever felt like you were the only one with a problem, but this man knew the right place to come. You know, I was thinking, if I was to ever beg for money, I'd probably go to one or two places. The bank, that's a good place to go. Or the church, because people care. You know, some come hurting with great need. There's a couple things I want to say here. Number one, you never know what people are going through. This past couple months, as we've dealt with one of our supervisors, one of our departmental leaders, I noticed they just weren't quite right. You know, we'd build a rapport as they came in, been a leader in our site, and talk with them and interact with them. And I noticed they just weren't right. They just weren't friendly. They just weren't, in fact, you know, got some word back. Hey, you need to stop coming back. You need to stop being so, you know, pushy. You need to stop. So, and I'm like, you know, I don't typically think of myself as pushy. I guess I can be, especially with telemarketers. But here we come to find out that this person's cancer. You know, and I'm thinking, how ungrateful. You know, how rude. Number one, you never know what people are going through. Here this person's dealing with the struggle of cancer. They're starting chemotherapy this week. And how their whole life is going to be changed. Number one, you never know what people are going to do. Number two, can you imagine a better place to come than God's place to get help? This man came hurting with great need. And can I say today, if you've come to a place in your life when you don't know if you can make it, if you don't know if you can go on, if you don't know how you're going to get through tonight or tomorrow or this week, you've come to the right place. You've come to God's place. My friends, don't ever give up hope. There is always hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you say, Brother Rob, nobody loves me. Let me tell you something. That man right there, he loves you. There are people on this side of the church, and they love you. There are people on this side of the church, and they love you. They're here tonight to help you. But you need to humble yourself, as this man did, and cry out for some help. Number two, I see that some people come hurting with great need. Number three, I see that some people come hungry to receive. Look at verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And I don't know how you came tonight. I hope you came with the attitude of, man, I hope Brother Rob preaches a red hot message for me. Because that's what I came prayed up to do. Amen. As I've prayed and prepared for this message, I said, oh God, allow me to be a blessing. God, help me to help the hearts of the people that come. God, you know how they're coming. God, please speak through me. God, please use me tonight to be a blessing to people. You know, some of the greatest church services that I've ever been to is the ones that I showed up early for. The ones that there was a special preacher. There was a guest speaker, maybe somebody coming from out of town. And man, I came in early and I was prayed up and I'd prayed for the preacher all week. And I said, oh God, give me something tonight. When I go to pastor school, when I go to conferences, I'm excited to come. You know what? I come hungry to receive. Amen. Tonight, can I challenge you this? If you come to church, I want to challenge you to come hungry to receive. As I talked with a lady this week, I said, pray for your preacher. Pray that God would speak to him. Pray that God would give him, would direct his thoughts. God would direct his Bible study, that God would speak through him, that you may learn and grow and get something every service. As might have been the purpose of my preaching, all my called ministry, to say, Lord, help everyone to walk out with one new truth. This man came hungry to receive. He came to God's house ready and willing, saying, I'm coming. And you know what? He needed something. This man knew he needed something. Is there anybody that needs something from God here tonight? To be honest with God and say, Lord, I need something from you, God. Well, then prepare yourself for this night. Prepare yourself for Wednesday night and next Sunday morning and next Sunday night, and get on your knees and say, God, I need something. Maybe you need something for your marriage. Maybe you need something for your finances. Maybe you need something to help raise your kids. I work with your kids in Super Church. You need to pray that prayer, my friends. But come hungry. Say, God, I know you're going to give my preacher something. God, I know you're going to, I don't care who's preaching. God, speak to me. This man came hungry to receive. The best sermons I've ever heard are the ones where I knew I needed something. Ones where I was so excited to come and hear the message of God. Come hungry to receive. Number four, the next way I see people coming to church is in verse 6. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He was indeed a Baptist preacher. He says, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Number four, I see that some come helping with what they have. Some come helping with what they have. I look back in verse 2. And I look at these men, it says, and a certain man, lame, came from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. This man had a group of people that gave what they had. They helped with what they had. They were on their way to work in the morning. And they went out of their way to pick up this guy and literally pick him up and take him up all the stairs and up all the ledges and up all the, you look at pictures of Solomon's temple. It was big. All right. They came helping with what they have. Give what you have, not what you wish you had. Tonight, you might not have $1 million to give to the land. You might not have $1,000 to give to the new van. You may have $5. Then if that's what God gave you, then you know what? This church needs that $5. Maybe you came tonight with a smile because somebody needed that smile. I see that they came helping with what they have. You say, Brother Rob, I don't have any money. That's fine. You say, I can't preach. That's fine. We got lots of room for you. We need people to help come and clean this church. Yep. You can probably push a sweeper for Jesus. Yep. You could probably run a mop for the Lord. Maybe you could go grab some tracks out of that track rack and you can go put them in doors all throughout the week. Yep. My friend, you have something to offer God. God, if God has given you life and God has given you breath, then you have something that you can give. God brought you here to Bethel Baptist Church because He knew that this church needed you. My friends, as Tawny and I leave, there's going to be some opportunities for some people to rise up. This church is going to need you. This church is going to need you to get with your pastor and say, Preacher, what can I do? This church is going to need you to get with Brother Dave and say, Brother Dave, is there anything that you need me to do? There's going to be some opportunities for you to serve. And I see that some people came helping with what they had. They were willing to give that away. Number five, the fifth way I see people coming, and this is so nice. Look at verse 7. And they took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. The fifth way I see people coming to church is helping people up. When I come to church, I say, Lord, please make me a blessing. God, help me to be an encouragement to someone today. Can I challenge you today, no matter how you come to church, come being a blessing. Helping people up. Be kind to one another. Be loving to one another. This preacher preached this morning. We don't need to tear people down. We need to build people up. Amen. Some people need a smile. Some people need you to go up to them. When we're shaking hands, don't make it a marathon. Make it an opportunity.
Amen.
It isn't an opportunity. It isn't a race to see how many hands can I shake at one time. It's an opportunity. I don't usually get all the way down and all the way back. But if I shake your hand, I'm going to look you in the eye. I'm going to genuinely ask you, how you doing?
Amen.
How you doing? If I know something's going on in your life, I'm probably going to ask you about that. Hey, how's Annie doing? Robin, I'm sorry to hear about your grandma. I'm going to go to the different ones and say, how you doing? I'm going to help people up. When you come to church, come with the attitude of, Lord, make me a blessing. Lord, help me to be kind and loving and reach out to people. I noticed that they reached down and they lifted him up. Have you lifted someone up lately? Have you seen someone depressed and discouraged? Have you seen someone down and out? And have you taken the time to stop what you're doing? Stop your busyness. Stop your running. And oh, I'm so guilty of that. I'm running from task A to task B many times. Carrying stuff over to Trooper Church and back and forth and wherever. But in my busyness, it's one of a thing that I've had to deal with myself. Stop. Stop. And lift out a hand and say, let me help you. Let me stop and pray with you. Let me help lift that load. Lifting people up. Number six. Some come happy with God's blessing. Look at verse 8 through 10. This is amazing. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Come to church counting your blessings, not griping about your bruisings. That's so many times we come to church and it's a Trump fest. Well, I'll tell you about my problem. You think you got problems? Let me tell you about my problems. I'll see your two worries and I'll throw on three complaints. You don't know how bad a week I've had. Let me tell you something. There's some people who have had some worse weeks than you in here. Come to church counting your blessings, not griping about your bruisings. I'm going to bring a message sometime. We thought about this in my car. Many of you know, as we were down in Florida visiting my mom, sitting at an intersection. I was completely guiltless. Car accident happened in front of us, come sliding across the road and wiped out the front end of our car. And thank the Lord we were not hurt. The Lord watched over us. And we limped home. We got home with that car. That car was battered and bruised, but it wasn't broken. They towed both of the other cars away, and the police said they're totaled. Totaled. All we had was a headlight and a bumper and a little bit of a fender. We had to ride home all the way with our highs on, but that's okay. That wasn't my problem. People kept flashing all the way. Hi. Just on my way through. It was beaten up. It was bruised. But it wasn't broken. My friends, in this life, you're going to get beaten up. You're going to get beat down. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get depressed. But my friends, just like that car, just keep on going. Just put it in gear and keep on going. This man came happy with the blessings of God. Put the smiley face on, even if you're faking it. Come into God's house and say, man, I've got a testimony for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, this guy, you know, as I thought about it, this guy was born lame. He was born and never walked. If there's ever a man you could say he was lame. This guy was lame, okay? He was totally lame. In an instant, when God's blessing and God's hand came down on him, he not only was healed, He could stand and walk and run. That's amazing.
Yes.
He came happy with the blessings of God. Can I challenge you today to come to God's house with a testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in your life? Think about it. What can I give praise for? What can I give a testimony of? Who can I share something that God has done something in my life? And may I ask you this, if God's not done something for you in your life, then there might be a problem.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to get down and ask God to do something in your life. Maybe you need to get down and say, God, I need you to do this for me. God, use me. God, help me. God, meet this need. So many times we don't bother to seek God because we don't think we need His help. I thank God this man reached out and he was willing to be touched by God. Come happy with the blessings of God. That was the seventh way. The eighth way that I see, and I only have two more, some come heralding the good news of Jesus Christ. As you read, we won't take the time to read, but starting in verse 12 all the way up and through almost chapter 4, Peter and John, as the people gathered together and they came together, they said, it's not us, it's Jesus. They said, it's not me, it's Jesus. Can I say today, come to church telling other people what Jesus Christ has done in you. Have a testimony of salvation. Be thankful you're saved. Be thankful you're born again. Be thankful you're called to serve God. Heralding the good news of Jesus Christ. My friends, this is a place people ought to come to hear about Jesus. This is a place that people ought to come, and every Sunday school class and every super church and every message, people should know that Jesus loves them. In fact, if you're here tonight, as I look out, it looks like a hometown crowd. As I look around tonight, I would say that maybe it looks like everyone in here is saved. But I don't know. I don't know your heart, but God does. Maybe you're here tonight and you're living a lie. Maybe you're here tonight and you're putting a smile on, acting all nice. You act like a Christian, but are you really saved? Do you know for sure that when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, that if tonight would be your last night, that you would wake up in eternity in heaven? If not, you need to get saved. You need to come to this altar when Pastor leads the invitation and Brother Dave sings and Miss Rose plays. You need to come down and say, please, oh God, save me. Because my friends, there is a very real heaven and there is a very real hell. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And you need to realize that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That you were born a lost sinner on your way to hell, damned forever. And Jesus Christ stepped in and said, no, I love you. I love you. Like preacher preached the other night. And he took your punishment. He took your place on Calvary's cross so that you would not have to die in your sins and face eternal judgment. My friends, getting saved is very easy. Number one, admit you're a sinner. Number two, realize that Jesus Christ loves you and died on the cross for your sins. Number four, repent of your sins. God says, just say, oh, you're sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. And number four, ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him, say, Lord, please, right now, I believe that You died on the cross. I believe You were buried in that tomb. I believe You rose from the dead. The best I know how. I believe. Come down tonight, and a man will meet you if you're a man. A lady will meet you if you're a lady. And someone can open God's precious Bible and lead you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So far, we've had eight ways that people came to God's house. All of them have been positive. All of them have been good. All of them have been God and Christ honoring. But sadly, there is the last group. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, the religious folk, the spiritually mature folk, the leaders of that day. The Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees. Verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You see, there's a group that's religious, but they're not right. I've talked with my family about this move. They said, so they've remarked so many, how many preachers they know are liars and fakes and charlatans.
Right.
And some and so many people say, well, if that's what Christianity is about, I'll have no piece of it.
Yep.
There was a last group that came. They came hindering the work of God. Thank God it was an 8-to-1 ratio.
Amen.
8's the number of new beginnings.
Right.
One group came to gum up the works. One group came to complain and get the pride and get the benefits. They wanted to come to church and they wanted the accolades, they wanted the praise, but they wanted none of Jesus. They wanted all the form, but none of the power. They came hindering the work of God. My friends, as you read on, there was a great damnation given to those who hinder the work of God. Tonight, may I challenge you by asking you, how did you come to church tonight? Are you here just because you're here? That's okay. Can I challenge you to keep coming? Because just like these men, they were just on their way to God's house one more time. Just another day of prayer, and God came down. God came down in a special way, a way that they never expected. My friends, never miss a service if you can. Unless you're providentially hindered, when these church doors are open, you should be here.
Amen.
I realize that some people have to work. I've had to work. Some people are sick. Don't come to church sick.
Right.
I don't want your cooties.
Right.
He is the person next to you.
Amen.
All right? But when you can, be in God's house. Because these guys just were on their way for another day at church, and God came down. You never know what God's going to do in a service. There may be some here tonight where God is working on your heart for the ministry. Maybe God is speaking to your heart, maybe young man or young woman, maybe old man or old woman, that God wants you to make a fresh commitment to Him. Maybe God's been dealing with your heart this week or this month or this year that you need to do something for Jesus Christ while you still have time. Maybe there's someone here tonight that needs to come down and surrender to preach the gospel of Christ. Maybe there's someone that needs to come down and surrender to be a preacher's wife or a missionary's wife. Maybe somebody needs to come down and surrender because God's laying in your heart to be a Sunday school teacher or a worker in this church. I don't know how God's dealing with your heart, but God knows how you came.